on that and save another soul and show the redemptive word of the Holy. Book of Hebrews, chapter 3, verses 1 to 6 will be our main text under the title of Think Deeply About Jesus. Will contextualize today's teaching. Book of Hebrews was intended for the reading of the Hebrews. At the time, they were encountering extreme persecutions. They had to lead a cloister life in the caves, subground level, catacombs, and in the wilderness. And they were burned in the furnace, thrown into the furnace, and mauled by the lions, which were often the case. Why was this the life of faith for the Hebrews? This can be imputed to the lack of faith. And for the faith, they were persecuted. To preserve the faith, they were persecuted. To glorify God and to preserve the faith, they were castigated by the tyranny of the day. It's a symbol of right faith. Persecution expresses this devotion to God. Walking with God is narrow and cumbersome, and persecution is often the case that offended by the persecution and hardships of life. If you are devoid of hardship, then it's a pseudo faith. There's no such thing as a life of faith that is devoid of hardship and persecution. If this is being told to you, you are being connived. Together with Jesus Christ, you cannot walk the life of faith without persecution. Together with the gospel, Hebrews were accompanied with persecution, and even in the face of extremities of the persecution, they preserved the faith. But there were some religious moderates that wanted to relish life and apostated from the faith and returned to Judaism. Encouragements and Jesus encouraged and emboldened the people who held on to the faith. But to those who repudiated the faith, he gives a stern warning to each and every one of them. What is the reason that people apostate from the faith? Why would people forsake Jesus Christ? What can this? Is the hardships of persecution the only reason? More importantly, it is rooted in the fact that they lack the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the essence of his divinity, and how precious he is, and the grace. The lack of knowledge in this is the main reason why we apostate from the faith. Book of Hebrews inculcates to us as to the true essence that is of Jesus Christ, how gloriously divine he is, and that he is nonpareil in comparison to all that are mentioned in the Bible, the figures of the Bible. Moses was highly esteemed by the Hebrews, but compared to him, how infinitely greater he is. The book of Hebrews teaches us Jesus is incomparable. Even to the angels, he is far greater than the angels. He is the Son of God. He is infinitely greater than the angels. But he lowered himself beneath the angels and became people incarnate, embodied our flesh. Why? To save us. He shared the same flesh as us and became the high priest. He experienced and endured the same persecution that marked our livelihoods as well. He wanted to help us. He wanted to redeem us. And for that reason, he lowered himself. In today's text, that Jesus Christ dictates to us, think deeply about Jesus Christ. Let us read together verse 1. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters, who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. Who are they referring to? They are speaking of the church. A church is a place where people who have been selected and called upon by God are convening. We convene here. God has called upon us individually, and therefore we are convening here to worship God. It's a place where we convene. Why did he call upon us at the church? To redeem us. He has called upon us so that we can inherit the heavenly kingdom and become his heirs. For that reason, he has congregated us at the church. For the eternal hope and for the glory of it, he has gathered us. And this is why he has called upon us. The calling, it is preciously special. Believe in this. Right now, there is a political campaign going on, and soon there will be an election. They all wish to be special and be particularized for their purposes, but not all are chosen. Amongst many people, he has specially chosen us for the glory. Paul the Apostle, he commands us to hold firmly to the scriptures. I trust that you will, and that we will, based on the scriptures, be boastful about it and take pride in it. Even right now, you are facing tantalizing enticements and persecution, but do not be robbed of this faith, regardless of the external circumstances. To the very end, hold firmly to the word. The church is also a place where the divine sacred brethren are gathered. Oikos, house. We are divine sacred brothers. When you believe in Jesus Christ, you are born again. You become new creations. As his children, you are born again. The glorious God toward that direction, we exclaim his name, God our Father. I exclaim his name, my Father, and one who sits next to me, who is ill-tempered, he too will call God his Father. One, the glorious God, one and only, we together call him God. We are the sacred brethren. I trust that you will believe in this. The Son was his Son. He glorifies God. And he is the Son, and he allowed us to become his sons as well. Among all of the sons, he is the oldest, and together with us, whom are also brothers, sons of God, he is not ashamed to call us his brother. Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. Hebrews 2:1. That's who we are. This is what the church is. We together have been called upon by God, the eternal heavenly kingdom. We are the heirs of this. We each other call each other and are holy brothers. This richly lavished grace. How can we receive this? Only through Jesus Christ we can receive this grace. Only in him you can receive the grace of being called upon put him as his sons and receive the heavenly kingdom. Only Jesus Christ, only faith in this Jesus Christ, only in him the eternal hope of inheriting the heavenly kingdom, and holding fast to this belief, you can have it. It teaches us today, sternly tells us, think deeply about this, Jesus. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. Who is our high priest and the apostle? He is Jesus. Jesus is our apostle and disciple at the same time. Apostle refers to the one who is sent, Jesus, for the salvation. He was the Redeemer, and as that, he was delegated as the apostle. High priest is someone who walks toward God and who represents the people on their behalf and intercedes on their behalf and asks for forgiveness, who prostrates before God on behalf of the sinners and people to God. Jesus, for our salvation, he was sent to us to save us. For us, he intercedes on our behalf. He is the high priest of that. In the Old Testament period, there were apostles and disciples. There was an apostle and the high priest who represented the people. A person who was highly esteemed and venerated, that was Moses. Moses, for the salvation of the Israelites, he was sent to them by God while they were languishing in the tyrannical reign of Egypt. Pharaoh was the absolute despot who had the absolute power. Israel could not triumph over Egypt. They had the absolute power. They were hopeless. They were in despair. And under disparity, they lived their lives. And in this languishment, God took pity on them, heard their cry of injustice, and saw the hardship. And to save them, dispatched Moses to uplift them of the plight. Apostle, what does this mean? One who was sent, Moses, for the redemption of the Israelites, was sent. He, as he was sent, he went before Pharaoh and conveyed the message of God. But what did the Pharaoh do? He rejected the command of God that was conveyed through Moses. He rejects it. And because of this, Moses performs 10 plagues and demolishes Egypt. And through the 10 plagues, he uplifts the Israelites from the plight. He was the high priest of the Israelites. For the Israelites, as was promised by God, he guides and ushers the Israelites toward the Canaan. But leading up to that, there was the wilderness. It's a land that was scarce of water and nourishments. During the daytime, there was the scorching sun, piercing chilliness. During the nighttime, it was not an inhabitable land by any means. And because of this, the Israelites, they were suspicious of God, and they rebelled against Moses and became idolaters, would erect the idols and idolize them. And God was wrathful because of this act and betrayal, and was about to destruct them. But right there and then, Moses, as the high priest, prostrates before God and asks for forgiveness and tries to appease God. Lord, he said, if I have found favor in your eyes, then let the Lord go with us. Although this is a stiff-necked people, forgive our wickedness and our sin and take us as your inheritance. But now, please forgive their sin. But if not, then blot me out of the book you have written. Exodus 34:9 and Exodus 32:32. To the point of even having his name blotted out, he asks for forgiveness and tries to appease God. And he prostrated and interceded on behalf of the people. That was Moses. Moses, for the redemption of the Israelites, was dispatched by God and was the apostle. And on their behalf, he was the high priest who interceded. And Moses was a vehicle and a tool in which God used to construct the house of God. Jesus is akin to this in this sense. Jesus, as the disciple, as the apostle, and the high priest who was faithful to God's duties. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as a builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. In the same manner that Moses was sent to give support to the people, Jesus too was sent by God to redeem the people completely. He was that apostle, and for the redemption of the people, the purpose, according to the purpose, he was crucified. He has completely cleansed the sins of humanity, and through the resurrection, smashed the skull of the devil, who devotedly fulfilled his duty for the people. And Jesus was the high priest and who intercedes on our behalf relentlessly. Book of Hebrews 2:18, because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Amen. He was fleshed out in our likeness and encountered and endured all of the temptations and the tests and the persecutions just as we did. And hence, he understands and empathizes and can help. And he eagerly and sincerely wishes to help us. Even right in this minute, he sits at the right hand of God and he, without rest, intercedes on our behalf and prays for us so that we will not be tempted by the sins and that we will not transgress. To pick us up when we do, he prays for us and helps us. Jesus, our high priest, he is not only similar to Moses in many ways, he is at the same time also incomparable to Jesus Christ, Moses. Jesus is inconceivably greater than Moses, in a sense. Something to the effect of him being incomparable, and that all is subsumed under him in greatness. Moses was highly esteemed and venerated by the Israelites. It is true that he is a great spiritual leader and that he is the disciple, apostle par excellence, but Jesus Christ, compared to Moses, he is inconceivably greater. And in three ways, this is explained. Analogously compares Moses and Jesus in three ways. First, the analogy of a house and the constructor of the house is used for the metaphor. A house cannot be built without the builder. Moses is like a house. God established Moses, and that's why he was brought into existence. Regardless of how great he is, He is a creation. Jesus is akin to one who built it, the constructor, the designer. He is the creator of the universe. From the authority of God, he has created and built the universe. Amid that, Moses was also one of his creations, and who was built by God. When you see a house, regardless of how aesthetically beautiful and well robustly built the house is, you do not venerate the house itself. You venerate and respect the one who built it, who designed it. In that manner, regardless of how most great Moses is, be that as it may, it is Jesus who built it. Moses, it is true that he is a great spiritual leader of the Israelites, but Jesus is the one who built it, built and established Moses, and hence cannot be compared to Jesus. Moses bore as a witness to Jesus. He was a harbinger of Jesus. And the actual form of his foreshadowing was Jesus. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, bearing witness to what would be spoken by God in the future. But Jesus Christ in the future, he presaged this. How did he foreshadow Jesus Christ? There are some examples. In Egypt, the people who were suffering in Egypt, the Israelites, to uplift them from the plight, Moses was dispatched. This fact, this is the testament to the fact that Jesus Christ is being foreshadowed by Moses, that is being prophesied through Moses. For the sinners, someone like Moses was sent to foreshadow Jesus Christ. Through Moses, what would be spoken by God in the future was expressed through Moses. That was his role. His duty and his role was to foreshadow Jesus Christ. And as he was commanded, conveys the message of God. But the Pharaoh rejects the word and doubles down on his wrath to the Israelites. And because of it, Moses performs the miracle of God by plaguing them with 10 plagues. And this fact, this is what foreshadows and testifies to the fact that Jesus will come to us. And through his sacrifice, he has smashed the and from this, Moses testifies to Jesus. And Moses ushers them into the land of Canaan. And this too it is also this also is in parallel to the Jesus uplifting us from our sinful fate and our damned fate. Jesus completed the work that was incomplete in the Old Testament. Jesus fully completed the work and fulfilled the promise. And for this reason, he is far greater. Lastly, Moses, as God's servant, he devotedly served under God's house and as his son, carried out his duties. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, bearing witness to what would be spoken by God in the future. But Christ is faithful as a son on God, son over God's house. And we are his house, if indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. Moses was a faithful servant of God. Who is Jesus? He is the eternal Son of God, who has absolute sovereignty over us and authority over us. A son and a servant fundamentally are different. A servant works for the master, and son is the one who inherits all that is endowed by the father. Moses was a devoted servant as a servant, and son of God was Jesus, who cannot be compared to Moses, who is eternally glorious. God's house, namely the church, who is the master of the church, is Jesus, only Jesus. The church, the head of the church is Jesus. Do you believe in this? Let us believe in this. Moses was a servant. We too are his servants. And the head of the church, there's only one head, and that is Jesus. We are all his servants. A faithful servant, a devoted servant, works for the master and are not intractable. They are supple to the word and are not obstinate, holding on to their stubbornness. They do not express, they do not boast about the work that they do, but they exalt God always. He worked for God and completely adhered to the word of God and only exalted God. And he was a great spiritual leader among the people, and God acknowledged him greatly. Now, Moses was a very humble man, more humble than everyone else on the face of the earth. Numbers chapter 12, 3. And he was acknowledged by God as being gentle. He completely sacrificed himself for God, but he did not exalt himself. He only exalted and praised God. He did not self-aggrandize. He was a devoted servant of God. I hope that we too will become a devoted servant like Moses. In the same way that Moses testified to the word of God and Jesus, we too, I hope that I can testify to the word and the message of Jesus completely redeeming us, the life contained in the salvation. And I pray that we can devote ourselves to this cause for our salvation. Jesus was sent to us as the apostle. Even though we are at a loss and at a disadvantageous situation in life because of the faith, but to the end, hold firmly to the word. He came to us and uplifted us from the dominion of Satan and for us, and he intercedes on our behalf. He is a priest, high priest. He came to us in our likeness and the flesh and has experienced all that we had experienced and have experienced. And he took pity on us and was merciful, and he lavishly will provide his help to us. If you hold firmly to the word, let us think deeply about Jesus. When you say deeply think about, this means that without fail, without rest, you are transfixed to the thought. That's what it means. Let us transfix it to Jesus. Ceaselessly. Be affixed to the word and Jesus. If you are arrested by evil thoughts, even though you are breathing, you are living the life of death, deathly life. But if you are arrested by His word, you receive life and hope. And regardless of the persecution and hardship, you can relish the joys of His glory. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the spirit is life and peace. Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, betrays Jesus. He intimates with the evil people to betray Jesus. Book of John 13:2, the evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. He was connived by the devil, and the ultimate fate of that was betraying Jesus. However, if Jesus preserves and protects our thoughts, then we will have the discernment to triumph over the persecution. We will have the mental acuity and the spiritual acuity to preserve the word, and we will not be arrested by anxiety. Rather, you will be encompassed by His peace and therefrom win over the hardships. He tells us to rejoice, and we can convey this good news to others as well. Let us preserve this peaceful thoughts, and let us not leave an opening for evil thoughts and evil temptations. How can you accomplish this? By thinking of Jesus Christ and be transfixed to the thought of Jesus Christ, and think deeply about the fact that He is our high priest and our apostle. Always thinking about this, regardless of the hardships of life, put that aside and rather be transfixed to Jesus and relentlessly think about Jesus. While we think about Jesus Christ deeply, you can experience Him being our apostle. In the midst of our hardships, you can experience how He can grace us and impart us with His peace. Let us, for the remainder of the week, think deeply about Jesus and that He intercedes on our behalf, and have a week where we can experience this deeply. Let us hold fastly to the word and pray.